It's always important to know the context in which biblical passages that we hear read were originally set. And these are some of the last words that Jesus speaks to the apostles before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes to his trial, he goes to his suffering and his death. And his words are filled with hope and optimism. And he speaks about how the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon the early church, will guide the church into all truth. Now, I was looking at the Greek word for guide, and it could be interpreted or translated as the one who leads, directs, or conducts. And I want to focus on this word conduct for a minute. A week ago last Sunday, I was able to tick off an item on my bucket list. I was in London, England, and I was at the Royal Albert Hall for the coronation celebration. It was the Royal Choral Society's 150th anniversary gala concert. The Royal Choral Society is one of the great choral societies of the world, and they were joined by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and I was in London, England, and I am unabashedly have an English background. I was like so at home. The concert began with singing God Save the King, 5,000 plus people. The concert ended with everyone singing this beautiful hymn called Jerusalem. And in between, there were some of the great pieces of the choral repertoire. Now, here's the thing. There were about 250 singers in the choir. There were about 120 players in the orchestra. And as I say, over 5,000 people present at this concert. And it was all conducted by Richard Cook, who has been the director of the Royal Philharmonic and Chorus for many years. Now, as a conductor, what did he do? Did he play all the instruments? Of course not. But he knew the scores so well, and he knew how to conduct and direct not only the orchestra and the choir, but then over 5,000 people as we sang together. And I thought, what a beautiful way to think about what the Holy Spirit does. That the Holy Spirit is the conductor of the church. He's the one who guides, leads, makes sure that we come in at the right time. And if we think back to when Jesus originally spoke these words, as of yet there was no church other than this gathering of 12 apostles, although by now one of them had left because he was going to betray Jesus. And so there are 11 men, and they're all going to desert him in a few hours, except for St. John, who will be at the foot of the cross the following day. But now listen to this from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Listen to how the Holy Spirit has conducted the church over the last 2,000 plus years. And this is from the Catechism on the article that says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, taken from the Apostles' Creed. So listen to the conducting work of the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. The church, says the Catechism, a communion living in the faith of the apostles, which she transmits. So it all started there in the upper room, right? We are a communion that we live in the faith of those original apostles. And now, through the Holy Spirit, she transmits this faith today in these ways. In the scriptures, he inspired. That is, the 73 books of the Old and the New Testament. In the tradition to which the church fathers are always timely witnesses. Now, the church fathers were those writers who lived from the post-apostolic period through to the 8th century. And here's the cool thing. You can read them all online. We have their writings, and they're comprehensive. So you've got the scripture, you've got the tradition, and then thirdly, the Holy Spirit has inspired the church's magisterium. What's the magisterium? It is the teaching office of the Holy Father, the Pope, joined with the bishops. And one of the clearest expressions of the teaching magisterium of the church in our day is this book. It's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. begun in 1985 and completed in 1992 under the direction of Cardinal Ratzinger, who, as you know, became Pope Benedict XVI. And so you've got the scripture, you've got the tradition, you've got the magisterium, but we're not done yet. The Holy Spirit has inspired the sacramental liturgy through its words and symbols in which the Holy Spirit puts us into communion with Christ. In other words, every single solitary prayer of the Catholic Church has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. What a conductor, eh? But we're not done yet. Listen to what he says next. The Holy Spirit has inspired the prayer of the Church. All of those who, through the centuries, have written beautiful prayers which we can pray today, things like the Rosary, which we celebrate, in the charisms and ministries by which the Church is built up. Let me tell you one beautiful ministry that we have here at St. Peter's. Last evening, I was down in Room C, and we have this group called the Little Flowers. These are girls between the ages of 5 and 11 who, throughout the course of the year, have been celebrating St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who's called the Little Flower. And each time they gather, they look at one of the women saints of the Church and the virtues that these saints celebrate and encourage us to embody, and a flower that is associated with them. Last evening, they had a beautiful tea party, and they were all dressed in their finest dresses. And one of the things I loved about last night, they were celebrating it's good to be feminine. It's good to be a girl. It's good to know what your gender is, in other words. And in a world of gender confusion, I was just so thankful that here at St. Peter's, we had little girls celebrating the fact that they were little girls and their mums were there encouraging them on. And then finally, the Holy Spirit has inspired the witness of the saints through whom he manifests his holiness and continues to work out salvation. Again, this is what we saw last night. Remarkable! All of this started with Jesus' promise in the upper room. Could the apostles have imagined what the catechism at paragraph 688 would be able to declare today? Of course they couldn't. And here's the amazing thing about our faith. Each person is invited to respond to Jesus personally. But this is the very basis, this is the very heart of our faith. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to conduct us, then we can have the passion and the conviction and the courage of St. Paul, who was willing to go to Athens and to a place called the Areopagus. What was the Areopagus? The Areopagus was to Athens what Facebook and Google are to our world. It was the very heart where people exchanged ideas. And what St. Luke tells us about the Areopagus is there people like to always hear new ideas. What's the most novel? What's the most sensational? What's the most kind of titillating kind of idea? And St. Paul goes into that place, and what does he do? He declares Jesus and the resurrection. Now, resurrection in Greek is the word anastasia. It's a feminine noun. And so some of the people thought that what Paul was doing was talking about two new Greek gods that they'd never heard about, Jesus and his girlfriend, Anastasia. But of course, what St. Paul was doing was declaring Jesus and the resurrection. And many people there thought, this guy's cuckoo. He's lost his mind. I mean, this is the heart of Greek culture. We know what it's all about. And yet, some said, you know, you've got something to say. Can you come back again? And he did. And lo and behold, one of the people that was converted, well, it would be like he was the president of Google. It was the head of the Areopagus, that is, the guy who was responsible for coordinating the whole thing. Listen to what St. Paul has been able to do by the grace of God. But some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysius the Areopagite, that is, the guy who was the head of this deal, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And that's how it always works. In humility, we have confidence that we have a great conductor. He is the Holy Spirit of the living God. And as we are growing in our faith, as we're growing in our sense of conviction that this is good, this is true, this is beautiful, then one by one, people are given the opportunity to say, those Catholics are crazy. And if they think that, well, we need to respect that. But some will say, those Catholics actually have something to say, something worth listening to. And then the amazing thing can happen. Kind of like me a week ago Sunday, as I was in the Royal Albert Hall and thought, I can't believe I'm here. I'm sharing in something that is profound, something that is so much bigger than me. And yet, I'm part of this. And believe me, the Royal Albert Hall pales in comparison to what we're talking about today. This is our faith. This is the beautiful promise that is fulfilled. Because the Holy Spirit truly does guide. The Holy Spirit truly does conduct and lead the church into the fullness of truth.